Hi, listeners. This is a quick thank you for listening and for your ongoing support. If you're enjoying the program, please consider clicking the follow or subscribe button if you haven't done so already. It really helps us out. There's no better way to support us than doing that or sharing the show with a friend, colleague, family member, or any new or expecting parent in your life. It's totally appreciated. On with the show. Hi, I'm Sarah Trott, and welcome to the Fourth Trimester Podcast. I'm a new mama, and this podcast is all about postpartum care for the first few months following birth, the time period also known as the fourth trimester. My postpartum doula, Esther Gallagher, is my co-host. She's a mother, grandmother, perinatal educator, birth and postpartum care provider. Fourth trimester care, our topic, is about the practical, emotional, and social support parents and baby require. And importantly, it helps set the tone for the continuing journey of parenting. Hi, this is Sarah Trott, and welcome back to the Fourth Trimester Podcast. I'm here with a special guest today who I'll introduce in a moment. Today's topic is all about listening partnerships. So what they are, the benefits of them, how they work, and some practical tools you can use right away to put this practice into place for yourself. And the guest that I have is someone who's really special to me. She's a dear friend, and she is absolutely the perfect person to join me for this topic because she is actually in real life my listening partner. And we've done a lot of talking over the years, in fact, several years when we started this off. So we'll be going deep on that, and I'm going to introduce more about her in a moment. And I want to remind everyone that we have a website, which is fourthtrimesterpodcast.com. Please go and sign up for our newsletter if you have not done that yet, so you can get all kinds of information and resources from us directly into your inbox. And then also, wherever you listen to your podcast, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, please hit subscribe and follow, or any other apps that you use, so that you can be notified every time we release a new episode. So Caitlin Salamini is a dear friend of mine who I've known for years, and she and I started our own listening partnership 3 or so years ago, and she is so interesting because when you meet someone in the context of a mom group, which is how Caitlin and I met, you don't necessarily know a lot about them. It's like you know everything about them and nothing at the same time because you're going through this incredibly powerful transition into parenthood and sharing experiences at the same time together as new parents of young children. And so cracked wide open emotionally, and a lot of sharing goes along with that in the mom group kind of setting. But then at the same time, as an equalizer, what people do for a living isn't something that's necessarily like shared or encouraged. It's really like we're there to connect about the topic of going through this transition together and supporting one another. And some of the other things kind of don't apply. In fact, we had a great episode on mom groups with Rebecca Walsh. So if you're interested in mom groups as a topic, go back and listen to that episode. It's fantastic. So it's a long way of saying like I was going through Caitlin's bio ahead of this recording, and I just find her so incredibly impressive professionally, as well as her deep friendship that I have developed with her. But she is a published novelist. She has started her own companies, and her companies as a founder have been very successful. So that's incredible. She is a podcast host, and she is also a mother. And I will mention her podcast now because it's one also to go ahead and listen to and follow. It's called Postpartum Production, which is all about the intersection of caregiving and art and how to maintain a creative practice through early parenting. So that's really cool. A lot of people find a lot of creative juice flowing after they become a parent. So, Caitlin, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Sarah. I've been obviously such a fan of this podcast and of you personally for a long time. So I'm excited to actually be here. That's a very like, ooh, out of body moment a little bit. And also to talk about listening partnerships. When you proposed this, I was a little bit like, oh, what is a listening partnership? Is that what we're doing? That is what we're doing. Okay. How does that work? And I think like I didn't really understand the parameters until they were proposed. And then it was a really helpful framework to reorient myself around how I listen in general, not just, you know, in friendships, but in other partnerships. And so it's still a work in progress for sure for me, which we can talk about, but yeah.
Yes. No, I'm so grateful for you and the friendship and the listening partnership that we have as well. And I agree. I'm so thrilled to have you on the program after, you know, knowing that you also have your own show for so long. Well, I think it could be useful for us to set the stage and some context around just the basics of what a listening partnership is. So, you know, we learned about the concept through Reza Tanner, who was someone who we were in a mom group together with. And what she is so brilliant at doing is creating vulnerability and connectedness and openness in a small group setting. And she's also a very talented storyteller. She's been on the show as well. So I'll put in the show notes a link to that program as well, because I think she has a lot to offer. And she's done a really lovely episode with us about realizing one's potential as a parent. So bookmark that one. And so what Reza is so good at doing in group settings is pairing up people who she thinks will have good chemistry to have these kinds of conversations and partnerships. And she recommended that the two of us, me and Caitlin, pair up. And what a listening partnership is at its core is kind of exactly what it sounds like. It's an opportunity to be open and speak and be listened to. So it's that core concept of being seen and heard and listened to without interruption. And really, it's about holding a space for someone in a mindful way, where you're not just meeting up with a friend for coffee and chatting, but you're being very mindful about listening without judgment, listening without interrupting and giving advice. It's really about allowing someone to be open and vulnerable and speak about their thoughts and their feelings and their needs, and then to feel accepted and loved and feel kindness as the result of that sharing. So that's my definition in a nutshell. And I'd love to hear what you think as well, Caitlin.
Yeah, I think that that was probably hard for me. Like, I think that my impulse, and I don't know how much we should get on this podcast, but maybe it's unique to me. Maybe it's just human. Maybe it's, I don't know, cultural in some ways, but I feel like it's hard for me not to want to do that dive in and say, oh, have you thought about this? Or, oh, have you considered this resource? Or, oh, you know, this is what worked for me, or something like that. And so really just listening, I recognized in myself early on how hard that was. I know that sounds terrible. I feel like I am a good listener, but it's just like, you know, it took me a little time to just to recognize those impulses in myself and to also see how helpful it is to do that and also to be provided that on the flip side too. I think even more so potentially for me as well to have someone just listening. But yeah, I think I was thinking as you were talking too about Reza's groups, and I actually had recommended her to my sister-in-law recently because she has a young child and just moved to the city. And there's been nothing. I've done a lot of mom groups, and while they've been lovely, there's been nothing like, I know you and I are both like repeat alums of our group as well. And I think there's something that's happening in those connections and in the space that she creates. I think also in some ways, the types of people that she draws in. And again, I think there's something like relating to listening partnerships that it tends to be people who want to be able to be vulnerable in that way. And so I think that's probably what makes it so fruitful and was obviously compelling and exciting to me, and I assume to you too. But yeah, I think there was like a little bit of overlap there, and probably why for the two of us, then it created an environment that could facilitate that as well. And it was, I guess, COVID. I don't know why it feels relevant to me just in terms of what has happened through that and just early parenting and a young child through that and the listening partnership, you know, and how that's played a role of having to navigate not being able to be in person as well and what sort of ways you can connect with people when you're not able to actually be in physical contact with them.
Yeah. And I think it's like a few kind of points we can pick on there is like, you know, on one hand, you know, as new parents, it can be really hard to find time to get together. And, you know, so there's like that organizational aspect, you know, pandemic or not, there's just that challenge. And so being able to be virtual has been very nice. And Rises groups are virtual, which is helpful. Like, I think we all had the option because we were in the same geographic area in real life anyway to get together in person if we wanted to, but it certainly wasn't necessary. And that was helpful. And then, yeah, just the convenience of it being, you know, you can just be where you are and pick up and dial on online. That was useful. And then, you know, for sure, it was like we went through a lot of tough stuff together at the same time, not only transitioning into parenting, but, you know, being through a very unique experience with the pandemic where we didn't have a lot of information and it was hard to feel connected. That was also a huge benefit of having a listening partner. And like I said, I think there is definitely a difference between just meeting up with friends and then happening to talk about something versus the listening partnership. They're very different. Sometimes there can be expectations or feelings around not wanting to share anything that feels negative because it might be burdensome to someone. Or you could feel shamed for being so vulnerable, or someone might dismiss your feeling or just kind of brush it off. Whereas when you're making the effort to have conversation in this way, you're really inviting an openness and vulnerability and meeting it in kind and not necessarily turning around and saying, oh, well, this is, you know, that's tough, but that's his fault. Or this is, you know, the kinds of things that people can say when they're trying to be well-meaning, but it ends up feeling dismissive or shaming, you know, and I think that's something that's really hard, I think, for vulnerability in general. But I don't know, like I've certainly found that it can develop over time and the degrees of openness and vulnerability can increase over time with trust and experience with someone. It's like openness and vulnerability begets openness and vulnerability, that people feel more comfortable. Like if one person kind of starts making a bit of a leap, then that can be additive and people can feel more comfortable based on how like you're expressing yourself.
Right, right. Yeah. As you were talking, I was thinking too about, you know, how we've come to know each other through this. And also, I guess I had two questions for you since we're talking about listening partnerships. And they're kind of for myself too at the same time. Is like, first is, do you feel like you need to approach someone, whether they're someone you know casually or someone you know deeply, and say like, do you want to have a listening partnership with me? Like, is it something that you have to have that framework set? That's the first question. And then the second is like kind of following on that. Do you need to be considered friends with them, or like how close do you need to know them ahead of that? Like, I don't know if they're, you know, since this is the topic of this conversation, I was curious your experiences, and I'm happy to talk also about some experiences I've had in and around listening partnerships. And yeah, what do you think?
Yeah. So the questions were, how do you go about inviting someone? And then secondly, do you have to be friends? Right. Okay. So I think consider who you are asking. I don't know, kind of speaking to the second question first, I don't know that you necessarily need to be close friends. I think that if you can connect with someone who you know might want the same thing, or you have something in common with, you know, on the fourth trimester, we're speaking to new and expecting parents and their supporting communities here. So the context of this conversation is parenting. But I, you know, I suspect these are going to be really valuable tools for anyone in any walk of life. We're all humans and we all have the human experience and our feelings and our needs and the universal need to be seen and heard and valued. So in this context of parenting, finding someone else who has maybe children around the same age could be useful. And then testing the waters with them. Have you heard of a listening partnership? No? Oh, hey, well, I just listened to this great podcast. Why don't I send it to you? If this sounds like something you're interested in doing, I'd love to try it out with you. Like, that would be a great thing to do. So that would be my take on it. I'd love to hear yours.
No, I think it's funny because I don't know if it was around the same time. One of my friends who I am very close friends with had proposed this listening partnership with me. We pretty much ran that on Marco Polo, which is an app that I think you and I have we've used as well. And it's a way to leave each other video and audio messages. And honestly, we don't always use it. Sometimes we'll use like an audio, I've actually been doing this a lot more, is like text of just leaving a text audio message, which I think as a parent, especially an early parenthood, like I don't have time to just sit and type, or I'm like in the car, I'm walking and I just want to leave a message or I want to hear a message. And so I find that that format works a lot better for my life right now. But she had proposed this a while ago. And honestly, I haven't even checked in. I'm like, maybe I need to check in with her. Like, are we still doing a listening? Is this what we call this? Are we following the rules? I don't know. We can, but I think that, you know, I guess what I'm saying is that it, for me, I have a number of friendships that have found this format of leaving each other these long form, I guess you could say, monologues of talk. And then my responsibility on the other end is to sit and listen and then to respond. Some of that is in response to that, and some of it is my own space of where I'm at. And they don't always totally sink in or intersect, but I know that I'm there and I know that they're there for me. And I've actually found that I have a handful of these relationships right now in my life, and they're with a wholly diverse, I say wholly like W-H-O-O-L-Y, not H-O-L-Y. They are, although they sometimes feel quite spiritual, but they're diverse sets of individuals from totally different walks of my life, whether that's, you know, someone I met abroad at some point. One, interestingly, which I find really lovely, and I haven't even voiced this to her, now I wish I could. We only intersected friends in a mutual friend who was, I met through another mutual friend, introduced us because we both happened to live in San Francisco at the same time. We only really probably met up a few times in person. And then she moved out of the country and then the pandemic hit and blah, 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 blah. But we've maintained this almost like a listening partnership that we've maintained. And it's really interesting to think about like how we've built this friendship virtually through that. One unifying factor for the most part, I say aside from one friend, is parenthood for sure, is that we are all currently mothers and are mothering pretty young children for the most part. So I think that there's something that's a necessity in that moment for us. I think it's both the listening part of it, and it's also, honestly, I think the, in many ways, the, what's the word I'm looking for? It's sort of like the utility of how our time is managed. And it's very hard, as you know, and I'm sure listeners of this podcast know, it's really, really hard to have synchronous conversations. I say that because one of my dearest other listening partner friends is always, she's a scientist, and she's always like, are we going to have an asynchronous or a synchronous call? I've never heard those terms until we started talking. But, you know, it's hard to find the time to actually have conversations live, and especially when, you know, we're busy. And even with people that like you and I that like live, what, maybe 3 miles away from each other. Like, we have to actually get into virtual spaces to have conversations. But I do think there's something about that of like finding ways to connect and really not just finding, but really wanting and yearning for that connection and for those vulnerable and also supported spaces, I think, is what's really valuable about listening partnerships, whether they have that specific framework or not, but you know that there's someone that's there that you're kind of on a little track with, right? Like there's a pace to like, oh, I'm responding and they're, you know, they're going to leave me a message. And right, like there's a consistency at least in the conversation and the relationship. And so I feel really grateful because when you proposed this, I was thinking about it. I was like, oh, wow, I do really actually have a number of really lovely relationships that through this have been able to also continue the friendship, which is nice. And in fact, one of the friends yesterday, I was listening to her polo, and she said, the thing that I like so much about this is that I actually really feel like I know what's going on in your life in a way that I don't think I would if we probably wouldn't have the ability to connect as much. Or she's like, I feel like we get to go deeper because we can just have that sharing space of like kind of just letting yourself go a bit versus if we're trying to catch up, it's like a little bit more superficial, I think, at times when you're, you know, you haven't talked to a friend in a while and you're just like, oh, what's going on in your life versus like really having this space and time to dig deeper. So I thought that was interesting that she raised that point actually in a polo yesterday of like, I actually feel like I know what's going on. And so we can you know, we can have these deeper conversations too. And whether they're live or not, you know, I think it's just, it allows the relationship to find a kind of more, yeah, like a more grounded space to exist. Yeah. But I don't know what your experience has been in your listening partnerships. I'm curious, or how you feel like the framework works or doesn't work, or like what you would tweak. Yeah.
Hi, listeners. I have some exciting news to share with you today. We've partnered with Every Mother, your go-to destination for evidence-based exercise therapy regimens. Whether you're dealing with diastasis recti, preparing for birth, or navigating postpartum recovery, Every Mother has your back. With personalized daily routines tailored to your core and pelvic floor needs, they're here to support you every step of the way. Say hello to a stronger, healthier you with Every Mother. Visit their website today and use code 4thTrimester10 for 10% off your personalized regimen. That's fourth spelled out, F-O-U-R-T-H, trimester10 for 10% off, because every mother deserves the very best. Yes. Thank you for sharing that story. We should talk about some of the nitty gritty, because you talked about rules. And if you Google around, there's all kinds of great guides. I would recommend like Hand in Hand is a great resource, and they have guides for how to do these things. So we'll link to that resource in the show notes. But the typical setup would be you sort of find, you identify someone who's also interested in having this listening partnership, sharing kind of relationship. And then you can either pick a specific topic or not. You can decide if you want to do it live in person or virtually live or asynchronously with a tool like Marco Polo, like what Caitlin and I use, or not. And these are all choices and they're all okay. Like there's no, I think, set way. Like the rule is basically more about the respectful listening and the non-judgmental, non-advice aspect of listening and essentially holding space for that other person to share. And then the benefits that come out of being purposeful about those aspects specifically. And if someone's getting this started, my 2 cents would be, if you're not sure where to start and you don't have subject matter that you want to start with, I think something that's really nice is you can start with your high or your low for the day or the week. You can just say, this was my high and my low. And my preschooler actually does this at school, and she calls it her rose and her thorn. And I have incorporated that into my language actually now. And so our family talks about roses and thorns, and that can be a way to be vulnerable and open up about something that was hard. And what's interesting is sometimes I'll ask people these questions and they think, oh, okay, I've got my rose. My thorn, that's a hard one. I don't know if I had one. Oh, wait, yes, I did. And then that kind of like opens up the conversation in a different way. And I think that's kind of an easy icebreaker type opener for having those conversations either in the session or just in the relationship. But yeah, so I think going back to some of what you just said, Caitlin, I love the convenience of it being asynchronous. And I have a story to share about our listening partnership, which is that a couple of things. One is I have such fond memories of like getting your polos when we were both, you know, we both had infants and you were like on a walk and you had your mask on and you're like walking up a hill or something. And you're like doing various things. And then I would kind of get this message where you wanted to talk and share something that was going on with you. And then I would do the same thing. I would respond and you would see me like in my backyard in between work meetings or something like that, where I just needed some fresh air and a cleansing moment to go outside and express myself and talk about whatever's going on with my family and my life and share my feelings and needs in that moment. And what kind of happened out of that is that when the first time I came over to your house, because we'd been kind of previously having met either in various places around San Francisco in real life or virtually, I came to your house and I felt like I'd been there many, many times because I'd just seen you, you know, in your environment so many times. And I think that's something that's really neat is that when you're using a tool like Marco Polo or, you know, something like that, then you get the chance to see the person's face and you see their expressions. And that's, I think that's part of what creates the closeness and that sense of closeness. And simply hearing someone's voice even as you said, with voice memos. I think you kind of get the same thing out of that to a degree.
Versus text, which, yeah, doesn't feel the same at all.
Yeah, in a way you don't get with an, like with an email or, yeah, agreed. So I think on that point, I agree 100%. I think that's a big part of it.
Yeah, no, I agree. Although I have to say that with Polo, I'm like, and I see my friends do this too. And I remember like, you, it's like, you're always like, especially if you're going, it's like, you're like, oh, what is like, I don't want to see my, I know you see me now, but like, I don't want to see you right now. Like a lot of my friends will be like in the car and it's like, you know, it's like they're driving and it's like, oh, where am I putting the phone? Oh, I'm putting it over here. And it's like, you know, this angle, which is super fun. Speaking of like vulnerable, I'm like, I love that my friend, like all of us can like have these vulnerable video moments where we definitely don't look our best and yet we're willing to share emotionally and physically with each other at that moment, which is kind of a fun part of that. Yeah, like always. And I just feel like so much of that is nice to see and also makes you just feel so much more connected to the person, right? Of like, wow, you're really letting me in your life right now because, you know, this isn't the perfect Sarah that I'm seeing right now. Like this is Sarah in between moments, like finding the time and also just taking, I think to your point earlier, I think you were mentioning this of just like, it sort of feels like a breath, right? Like when you were saying like, oh, I was between meetings and I went to decide, I just needed to stand outside. And it sort of gives you that pause in your day of wherever you are to just take that moment. I find that really nice. And so, especially if in the listening partnership, you each are doing that, then it can kind of, you know, each time you dip into it, you're both like, if you're listening, you're listening to someone who's saying, I want to take this time right now. And even if they are busy while they're doing it, they're driving, but they're trying to be more present in that moment and sit with themselves and sit with you. And so I think that that can be a nice way to connect. Like I was thinking, I have a friend, she's in outside of London and she always walks out and like, I don't know, the Heath, is that what it's called there? Like, it's just like, it's so beautiful. And it's like, every time she connects with me, she's usually on one of these walks and she'll sometimes like show me where she is but I can like really feel that that's her moment. Or another friend will often be running. Although I had to ask her, I'm like, I don't know if I can listen to you running while you're running anymore because it's very shaky. So speaking of rules, like I had to kind of like set a boundary and be like, it's hard for me to hear you when you're running. Maybe walking is a little easier. But every now and again, she'd be like, sorry, I'm running and I just have to say this one thing. I just have to get this off my chest or whatever. But yeah, I don't know. So speaking of rules, I guess like they can also be distinct to that partnership, right? Like it might be something where you feel like you need that person to really be like sitting down and not moving or yourself, or maybe it's a rule for yourself. Like you feel like I need to, if I'm going to do this, I need to not be also doing other things at the same time or something like that. I don't know. Or how are you like a rule? You seem to me like someone, like even it's fun to be on this podcast with you, I was thinking like, because you're very structured in your thinking. And so I'm curious if like for listening partnerships, do you prefer to have structure or do you prefer to have it be something that can be more loose, I guess?
My answer is that it depends. So if it's asynchronous, like what we do, which is kind of my preferred approach, then I feel very not bound because of my own needs. You know, I choose when to listen in a time that works for me. Like, you know, talking about boundaries, you know, finding the appropriate time and space where I have the capacity to be a present listener and not feel like it's something that I feel time pressure around is really important for me. So I'd say that. But if it were live, which is also very lovely, and I have done that, I think some of the things that are helpful in the guidelines that I would like to adhere to is one, have a set period of time. You know, we're going to talk for 5 minutes or 10 minutes or 20 minutes each and try to be respectful of that because as a busy parent, that's important to me. Like becoming a parent and also being a professional person, like there's nothing that's better for time management than, you know, having a lot of time requirements outside of work, right? You like sit, like everything's done, everything's organized. Like parents know how to get stuff done, which is amazing. So if it's going to be live, then I think, you know, having that set of time and then for the last, like if a use a time, you can use a timer like on your watch or your phone or something. And then when the timer goes off, give that person another minute or so to finish their final thought, whatever they're going to say, wrap it up. And then at that point, you can have like a little palate cleanser, something to bring them back out of that sharing mode and into a different plane, like name 6 different kinds of nuts, you know, like just completely different, something different. And then from there, the only other thing I would say is from a guideline perspective or rule perspective, it can be nice if the thing that is on your mind is potentially triggering for that other person, and you think that might be the case, to ask them first, this is the thing I want to talk about. Do you have the capacity for that in this moment? I think can be really nice because it's just a respectful step that I would want to put in place if it were specifically if it were live. I suppose that's true also if it's an asynchronous topic, but I think it's just a really nice, respectful thing you can do for the other person.
Yeah. When you were saying that too, I was thinking that I was listening and I was thinking like, is that allowed? No. And I was thinking about how, especially with parenting, there's so much where, I mean, there's a whole industry around solving problems or, well, problems. I mean, I'm sure you, and I know that having listened to a lot of your podcasts, like you're addressing this and I'm also addressing this in my podcast of there's so many structural issues that parents and families face, especially in the United States. And then there's a whole industry that's trying to make you pay money to solve those problems as opposed to create obviously much better conditions so that those problems don't exist. All that being said, I think that a lot of the time, some of the venting or like the challenges that someone's facing, you know, I think especially when it comes to parenting and early parenting, right? Like there's this impulse to say like, oh, well, here's a solution to that problem, right? And so I think what's really beautiful about listening partnerships is there's not meant to be a solution, right? And that the space is a space to share and to be held and to be listened to and to be, to understand or to feel that the person on the other side of that is really there and they're not going to try to intervene or guide you in a certain direction or make it all better. Right? I think that's also probably, I don't know how American this is, but this sense of like having big feelings, right? Like we need to fix them, that having feelings is not okay. And we need to kind of like hold them in and tamp them down. So whether it's like a feeling of like rage or defeat or, you know, like really being at rock bottom in some way, like that sometimes just like getting that out, right, can be so helpful. And I think knowing someone in your life that you know can hold that space and not try to solve it for you is really nice. And I think I feel really grateful because like I was saying, I feel like I've found that in a lot of people. And at times, right, something I've also learned is like you said, when you say how to set the parameters kind of at the beginning of like, this is going to be a challenge for you, this topic is something that I haven't ever done and I need to do, haven't done prior, I guess, to kind of learning about all of this and I'm trying to do more often is to say like, are you looking for advice right now or are you just sharing, right? Because whether even outside of listening partnerships, I think people obviously are always sharing things and sometimes it feels like, again, or do they actually want you? Sometimes, right, someone does want you or sometimes you want that. Like you're like, no, I need, I can't figure this out. Like I really need, like I recently wrote to a few friends about night weaning my toddler because I have had some health issues and it just feels like, okay, I'm ready. I don't know if she's quite ready, but like it always sort of at this time feels like the right time. And so I wrote to a few friends who I knew had nursed to a certain point and I was very explicitly asking, right, for their experiences and advice. But there might be a moment where I'm like, I don't want advice. I just need to share. I'm having a really hard time and I had a terrible night's sleep and I don't want you to tell me how to fix it. I just want to share. And I think that for me personally, like I could be better at that of framing where I'm at and like explaining like, actually, I don't want advice right now, or I really do want advice right now. And I think that maybe, I don't know if these listening partnerships has sort of given me more of a sense of how to do that. Like I do feel like, again, it's a work in progress, but I'm feeling like I'm better at it over time. And also now I can see that impulse in others in my life and say, and recognize that it comes from a place of love, but it doesn't always hit the right way, right? Like it's always coming from a place of love when someone is trying to help. Last thing on that note, I know I'm talking a lot, but one last thing was that I didn't know I had so much to say about this. My brother, I don't know if I can say this on the podcast, I think recently was telling me about a framework that he came across in the therapeutic world around, and I'm totally not going to get it right, but maybe we can find the resource and link to it somewhere. But it was about in relationships, like how you respond to things, and that advice was actually like the last thing you should do was like give advice. It was, so it was like working down these steps, and I can ask him too, if he has the, it was like an acronym, you know, and it had, and then like advice was like the last thing. And I thought that was so funny because that was sort of not my family of origin. And so I think growing up and becoming a parent also, like, right, within your relationships with your children, there's always this instinct to protect and to make sure that they're okay and to fix, right? And so unlearning that for me has been a huge process. But I do think that, again, these listening partnerships and these kind of relationships are ways that you can practice that and can cultivate that in other relationships in your life. So I've been grateful for Sarah, for you, for helping me. I'm not totally, it's always a work in progress, but I do feel like I've learned a lot through these kinds of relationships where listening is definitely a skill to cultivate.
Oh my goodness. 100%. Yes. 100%. I feel exactly the same way. And I'm so grateful for you too. And the benefits that you're mentioning are things like, you know, learning and your own self-development, talking about breaking generational patterns. That's huge. Just being aware, being able to discuss those and also practice that change through the listening partnership is huge. And it's really a form of self-care. You know, I would say, what are the benefits of listening partnerships? Certainly self-care. It's something that's for you. We've talked a lot about friendship and developing connection. Connection is so important throughout our whole lives, especially for adults in their sunset years. It's been a factor that's tied to all kinds of outstanding benefits for people as it relates to their health and their happiness. And then as it relates to parenting specifically, I don't know about you, but when I'm able to process something that's hard, or, you know, when you have like a feeling you're like irritated or unhappy, or there's something going on that's hard, being able to stop and take care of myself and process those feelings and express them and get that off my chest, so to speak, it's huge, because then having done that, I'm a more patient and present parent. You know, I'm much better able to care for myself and my family in that way. Even if it's just like a 5-minute SOS, like, help, I just need to talk for 5 minutes, this thing, blah, get it out. And then, you know, it's like something that's, you know, released in my body, and I can go and I can parent in a different kind of way. So I think that's a huge benefit that makes this whole thing worthwhile, a very real, very helpful tool for parents. And using Marco Polo was a huge part of that for me, in part because, like I said, as a busy parent, like, it was hard to find the time, you know, several times a week to try to meet up with someone in person. Like, that's like, you're dreaming. That's not going to happen. Balancing, you know, work and kids and all the things, it's too much. So I think that there's just a fantastic benefit from that respect, just to be able to pick up in the moment and feel like I'm seeing someone's face, being able to connect with them and really feel heard and seen. So I mean, I don't know how you feel, but those are some of the biggest benefits I've experienced for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, like you said too, I think that in doing that, we're modeling how to do that for our children as well. So I think there's that added kind of ancillary benefit of taking that time and having those relationships and being vulnerable, or, you know, I think, like you said, stepping away and protecting that space for ourselves, I think has been, for me, it doesn't feel selfish. I don't feel guilty at all about the time that I take to maintain and nourish those partnerships. And I think that, you know, like you said, it makes me be able to show up in my life in a much better way. And so I'm really grateful for them. And what I love is how unexpected they often are too, whether it's the conversations themselves or the people with whom you do connect, right? Like, you just kind of don't know where it's going to come, but it feels like it, for me at least, it feels like it's snowballed, in that once I started it, it became easier to do with a diverse set of relationships. So I'm really grateful for that too.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Especially, like, I don't know. It's just, I think it's a little bit cultural and like societal, like, we're just not necessarily encouraged to, you know, like the whole thing about like women should just smile and, you know, be strong and kind of take care of everybody, like all of those like falsehoods around, you know, expectations, unrealistic expectations of motherhood and of parenthood and, you know, not needing help. Like it's okay to ask for help. And actually it's necessary to have a village around you to support you in lots of practical and social and emotional ways. And I would just say to all of the parents and their supporting communities out there who are listening right now, take this tool of listening partnerships and put it in your toolbox. It's one part of a sort of a whole array of things that you can do around self-care and nurturing that like helps support you in your parenting journey. So especially if you weren't raised in an environment that encouraged you to express all of your feelings in the full array. Sometimes, you know, every family has its own culture even. So it can feel hard at first to open up if it's not something that was naturally modeled for you or demonstrated. And, you know, it felt safe. If it didn't feel safe for you to express sadness or anger or fear or any of these things, like it can be hard to like learn how to do that, but so absolutely rewarding in the long run. So yeah, I mean, I think we've covered a lot here, and I would love to just invite you to share any other thoughts that you wanted to share on the subject.
Well, yeah, I think just one last thing was, as you were thinking, and probably because I'm obsessed with this idea, it's not even an idea, reality on my podcast, which is of productive time, that this doesn't have to be a space where anything happens, where there isn't a goal even, right? I like that in some ways it's very counter to the pressures that we face as mothers in American society. And so it feels like this tiny little, you know, sort of reactionary little jab at like, hey, we're going to take this time and like, I'm not doing it. You know, that even if it doesn't produce anything specific, right? But it still matters, and it matters, and it can matter in a really important way socially, communally, you know, personally. And I like that it can sit outside of that framework. And I feel like it works against some of the constraints of time and work and productivity. And so like that's why I like kind of the idea of the framework is nice. I think there isn't really a goal to it, right? It's really just sitting in it and letting it be what it is, I think, is something that was hard. It was harder for me to, you know, for a number of reasons we don't have to get into on this podcast, but it was harder for me to be comfortable with. But now I really love to just kind of dive into listening to others sharing feels so nourishing even for me. And again, it shouldn't just be like, oh, it's about me again. But like, you know, but it is about like taking that time. And obviously our time is really valuable and challenging to protect when we're in, you know, the throes of early parenting, especially. But it feels all the more important to have that space for yourself too.
I couldn't agree more. Thank you. And I think that's a lovely place for us to start to wrap up. And thank you again, Caitlin, for being such a wonderful guest. And it's been such a pleasure to talk. I want to mention for the final time that, again, we've listed a lot of resources throughout this conversation. We'll put them in the show notes and link out to Fourth Trimester Podcast with all the resources and links. We'll also put links out to some of the ideas we discussed for practical tools for having your listening partnerships asynchronously and some of the pros and cons of those. And we'll also have a link for Marco Polo, since we've called that one out a few times specifically, so you can try that out for yourself. So thank you, Caitlin. Appreciate you.
Oh, thank you so much, Sarah.
You can subscribe to this podcast in order to hear more from us. Thank you for listening, everyone, and I hope you'll join us next time on the Fourth Trimester. The theme music on this podcast was created by Sean Trott. Hear more at soundcloud.com/SeanTrott. Special thanks to my true loves, my husband Ben, daughter Penelope, and baby girl Evelyn. Don't forget to share the Fourth Trimester podcast with any new and expecting parents. I'm Sarah Trott. Goodbye for now.
Hello again, Bicycle Man. I know you're doing all that you can. I wrote the song, simple and true. I wrote the song I'll sing a song for you. You got your wheels, you got your gears, you ride around town without any fear. You got your pedals, you got your brakes, you always wear your helmet for safety's sake. Hello again, bicycle man, I know you're doing all that you can. I wrote the song simple and true. I wrote the song, I sing a song for you. Hello again, bicycle man, I know you're doing the best that you can. I wrote the song, simple and true. I wrote the song, I sing a song for you.